Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
Hello and welcome to episode 29 of Slam Fire Radio, October 31st, 2013.
The Halloween edition. Ooh.
Almost like we planned that.
Yeah, only it's not the 31st. We screwed up. We're supposed to record tomorrow, but...
It's right. Okay. The listeners wouldn't have known.
They wouldn't have known.
Now you've mentioned it.
I have to, because right. I just want to, you know, say I'm taking my birthday off. I'm getting the day off. You guys have actually given me the day off. I appreciate it.
We do what we can.
Well, you're not getting a birthday present, so it's the least we could do.
That's actually true.
It's literally the least we could do. In fact, I could not have tried less hard.
Oh, I think you could have. Now, don't sell yourself short.
If there was less we could do...
We would do it.
We certainly would have tried.
So that flaming bag of poo on my deck tomorrow.
See, that takes effort. I wouldn't do that.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Yeah. So, guest, what did you do? Oh, we have no guest this week.
No guest this week.
No guest for you. You come back 1 year.
So now do I have to start? Who knows?
It says Owen.
Well, if you're trying, you have to, because it's in order. So.
Oh, I see. So, yeah. So, Owen, what did you do with guns this week?
I
did a little bit of hunting this week, and that was pretty much it. I, at one point, found myself surrounded by bears in a cornfield.
Did you shoot one?
That must have been fun. So you got them all then, huh?
Yeah. No, I did not. I didn't even actually see them.
See, the thing is, I envision you being surrounded by bears and you coming out alive with a bloody bear's head on the end of a stick.
Yeah. And a knife in his teeth.
Yeah, yeah. I was just going to say. Yeah, so I dropped my gun and pulled my knife.
So that's not what happened?
Not really. I was actually grouse hunting, but with my wonderful shotgun, I was able
to... And what a grouse. Look at the size of the claws on it.
I know. And so I had the other tube loaded with slugs because it is still bear season and I wanted to shoot a bear. But so I purposely stayed out till, you know, right before dark, just as it's starting to kind of get dusky, because I know that's when they usually come into this cornfield. And there's a huge end of this cornfield, just flat. I mean, probably about three or four times the size of my house, just flattened. So I'm walking down real quiet. I can hear something out in the corn. And periodically you'd hear this kind of crunch as the bear would push the corn down flat, and then you hear this munch, 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 munch. So I sneak down to the end and around the corner and back into the flattened spot where the corn's off. And I can't see this bear. I'm looking, I'm going, I know it's in there, I can hear it. Real still night, you know, not a breath of wind. I don't imagine I was more than 30, 40 yards from it, but... If that, but it was in the corn, and I just
being
couldn't.
In a cornfield is freaky, especially at dusk.
Especially at dusk, and there was no way I was going into the corn after it.
Really?
So I'm. Well, not at that.
Maybe
point.
if he had backup, maybe.
Yeah, if I had backup, like I had the next night, but I think the memo must have got out because nothing showed up. But anyway, that's another story. So I'm sitting there, I'm standing there, I'm looking, and I don't. I'm like, well. I'm going to try to get a little closer, get a little different angle. So I take a few steps, and I stepped on, I don't know, a branch or a corn stalk or something. And it made a crunch. And the bear that was behind me, about 15 yards away in the woods, took off running.
Wow.
Ooh, that's
fine. He was sneaking in behind me. And, of course, as soon as it took off at full gallop, the one that was in the corn... took off through the corn. I was hoping it was going to come back at me.
I was hoping it was going to come back at me. We all heard
he
that.
He just dropped his gun and grabbed his knife. He was like, bring it, bear.
Come on, Yogi. Let's rumble.
But it didn't. It took off through the corn. So I was like, ah, well.
Pansy.
Kind of surprised that there was, you know, two, but whatever. So I turn around, and I'm not making any attempt to be quiet, start marching out of the field, making all kinds of noise. Well, I get about three steps, and the third bear that was to my right in the corn took off through the corn. Wow. And I ran to the edge of the field, but it was already long gone. So, yeah, so I literally found myself surrounded by bears in a cornfield, and I didn't see a single
alive.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. And you didn't get to fill a tag. That's too bad.
Yeah. I mean, there's still a few days, but just with my schedule, I know there's no way I'm going to make it out. So, maybe next year. Anyway, a little earlier in that evening, I did shoot a grouse. I actually shot two. One I was able to retrieve. The other one, I plucked it with the shotgun, but it didn't kill it.
So you shot a bunch of feathers off it, basically.
Basically, it was up. I flushed it out, and it flew. I didn't have a really good shot, but I saw where it landed in a tree. So I snuck up as close as I could, and I could tell it was about to fly. It started, you know, kind of twitching and chirping.
Yep.
So I fired. It was a long ways from my KSG with the cylinder choke. But anyway, it dropped like a rock. I mean, it was still flapping a little bit, but it hit the ground. And I thought, all right, I got it, but I could still hear it flapping. So I ran up as fast as I could to, you know, finish it off.
Mm-hmm.
And couldn't find it. All I could find was a pile of feathers.
Wow.
So anyway, I went down in the woods because I said, well, it's probably just crawled away here a little way. So I went down in, and I was searching around, and all of a sudden, went away it went, and it flew away.
Weird.
So,
I'm telling you, sometimes you, Matthew and I, you know, we thought I had put one down. It was a time before that. I hit one with an arrow, same arrow that I shot my first bear with, in other words, an arrow that was suitable for shooting black bears, mm-hmm. 65 pounds, rubber blunt, hit the grouse in between the legs, like in the abdomen area, mm-hmm. feathers on the ground, feathers on the arrow, and I watched the grouse walk away.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I felt kind of bad about that one, but hopefully it didn't die later. Hopefully it's still around there somewhere because I'm going again this weekend to look for it. Because I saw probably five or six that night. So there's a whole bunch around that field. So if the weather holds, we'll be out.
Nice.
Nice. And I'm coming back to your place then.
Yeah. Hopefully there won't be any left. But anyway, this weekend, the other thing I'm doing this weekend is I'm taking a friend of mine from Moncton who's never hunted before in his life hunting. So he's got his course, his PALs, hunter safety, all that kind of stuff. And we're going to buy him a shotgun. And we're going to, try to get some goose hunting in Saturday morning. We're going to do as much grouse hunting as we can because that's easy to do, you know.
Walk.
Grab a shotgun and walk through the woods.
Exactly. Yeah, so that'll be kind of fun. He's shot rifles and handguns recently for the first time, but he'll have never shot a shotgun before, so we may have to get some skeet and practice up a little.
Clays, you mean?
Whatever.
I'm going to shoot skeet. I'm going to shoot clays. Which is it?
Well, it's certainly not skeet.
That poor guy. Cool.
Alright, well, you done then?
Anyway, and then next weekend, but I can cover that on next week's show.
No, you can tell it now.
Preview.
That'll be something to look forward to.
I'm going to follow Trevor's advice and take someone shooting. I'm going to take two people shooting, actually.
Nice.
I've got a couple of SCA guy of mine, a friend of mine that I used to fight with. His son is taking an interest in...
It sounds so funny. I used to beat on him. Now I'm taking him shooting.
Maybe I should, I better watch my back.
Yeah.
No, his son, who's, I'm guessing, around 14, has taken an interest in gunsmithing as, I don't know, a career, I guess. But anyway, he really seems to be very interested in it. And so I suggested that they go and get their course, now, and kind of get into guns a little bit so that he's familiar with them, you know, when he gets to the age that he's going to actually take a course, a gunsmithing course or something instead of just going in cold, kind of become a gun person first. So they followed my advice. They're all signed up for a course in February, but I said this fall I'd try to get them to the range so they could handle some different firearms and stuff. So that was supposed to happen this Saturday, but the hunting thing kind of bumped it ahead, so it'll be next weekend. So yeah, that's it for me. Cool. Trevor, what do you do?
Pretty quiet. I went out and shot an IPSC match last Saturday in the Miramichi, and I used my new Tanfoglio Stock 3, so I shot my first match in production.
You've never shot a match in production before?
Nope.
Really? I would have thought back when you first started, like when you first got into it, that you would have, you know, with your Glock 17.
No, he jumped straight into the standard. He knew I was there, so he's like, no, there's no way I'm
That's what it was, right? I took my black badge with him, and I was like, oh, I so don't want to embarrass that dude, so I just better stay in standard. So, if you look around our club, Owen, if you shoot a couple of matches with us like Matthew has, he'll tell you the Rescuers Gun Club is a predominantly standard gun club. Mm-hmm. Everybody shoots standard, so when you come in, that's what they know, so that's what they encourage you to do. Not myself, actually. I tell everybody get a 9mm and go from there. You're only poking holes in paper. Why spend extra money for nothing? But, Restigus is a standard gun club, so that's what they told me I should buy, and being a newbie, that's what I bought.
Sure.
And but I'm not going back. I love my new STI Eagle 2011, now that I have this Tanfoglio, I could see myself shooting, you know, at least one match a year, maybe the Black Badge match or the last match of the year or something. It was a heck of a lot of fun. It was a lot more fun when I got ammunition in the gun that worked. These are not Glocks. We know that. The ammo that I made is actually so long that it was not even working well in a Glock. I don't know what happened somewhere along the way. My die just wasn't adjusted correctly. Maybe I had it adjusted for a 124 grain bullet. No, I switched over to a 147. I didn't shorten the overall length and made ammo that was too long. It was causing jams and Glocks as well as the Tanfoglio, so you can well imagine. That being said, Pierre-Luc was there, and he had some Santrex, I don't know what it's called, something that Sal sells. And he said, let me try some of your ammo and my gun on this next stage, not knowing if it would work or not. And if it does, then we'll trade, because his bullets were obviously shorter than mine. Mm-hmm. So gave him some ammo. He ran a stage with it, ran absolutely perfect. So we traded like 120 rounds or something, and I finished the match with that. So I won a fair amount of stages, but I lost a fair amount of stages. And the stages that I lost, I bombed. Like I finished 6th or 7th out of 10 guys. Because they should have taken 15 seconds. They were taking 30 to 40 seconds because I was dealing with malfunctions. Other than that, I really enjoyed the gun. It needs a front sight that's fiber optic, because it's black front sight, black rear sight, and we shot a lot of steel.
Yeah, it's hard to pick up your front sight when it's black on black like that.
Yeah, but we had a strong hand stage that was poppers on the ground. Four, two on either side of the plate rack, and then a vertical plate rack. I won that in strong hand, having never shot the gun before, having never shot it strong hand. I also, they had one mini target set up at 10 yards, and it was two rounds. That was the stage. Draw, shoot two. I never drew the gun out of the holster before that day, and I won that stage.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that just goes to show that your equipment really doesn't make that much of a difference. A shooter is a shooter is a shooter. You know, the fundamentals are all the same no matter what the gun.
Yeah, fundamentals and technique, if you got them down. Yeah. I mean, I won that little side bet. The Nova Scotia Provincials, the first, the fastest out of the holster to knock down the first popper in a field of steel as well. But of course, there was beer on the line for that one.
Well, yeah.
So you know, there could have been a
pull out all the stops.
That's right. There could have been a brick attached to my gun. I still would have gotten another holster faster. But so anyway, no, it was a lot of fun. The double action, single action, the double action trigger pull is really smooth, and I had no problem, you know. But then the reset was a little different. Like I could notice maybe two or three times throughout the match that it was like, oh, wait a second, the trigger's all the way back here now. So I may have been coming off of the trigger, which is not good fundamentals, instead of riding the trigger to the reset. Uh-huh. But other than that, no, it was a good time. And cool. I finished 4th, so... PL Luke. It was
kind of like where you finished in. Oh no, you came in third.
Yeah, nice try.
You just would have finished fourth if I had been in your division. That's
yeah,
all.
But you're too scared to come play with the big boys, so you know stayed on the stayed on the porch with the puppies.
If you say so.
Well, the next year you'll just have to shoot in the same category as us, and we'll see what happens.
I'm going to shoot whatever category my equipment puts me in.
There you go.
And I'm still going to kick all you guys'
butts. And then
butts.
You'll get me to work the scores in after to see how you did, right? Which is a good idea, actually.
Yeah, I wanted to see how I stacked up against you two clowns.
Yeah, well, you shot your gear the way you wanted to shoot your gear, and then...
That's right.
And then you want to see how you did against us. But now, if you had your spark, would you have not shot your spark?
I did have my... Well... I gave the spark to Owen
because
I was scared of it breaking again. But if the spark had not given me trouble the entire time that I had had it, it still would have been on the AR and I would have been an open.
Oh, okay. Because that's how you like to run your AR with your spark.
I wanted to run it the way I was running my gun, but now that I don't have a reliable optic, I'm running my gun with iron, so that's how I ran it in the competition.
Yeah, cool. So... other than that IPSC match, the only other thing I did this week was I turned my 870 back into its original wooden hunting configuration with the 28-inch barrel, sold off.
So did the plaid coat grow automatically onto your back when you did that?
And my beard got longer.
And the Mackinaw just kind of appeared in the...
And my beard went from that close-shaven Chris Costa tactical look to the Grizzly Adams kind of...
And right away, you started angrily shaking your fist at AR owners, right? So you had to shake it at yourself.
We don't say that word anymore. Those evil black rifles are going to be, they're what's wrong with guns today.
That's right. Hey, look, let me tell you. Yeah. Once you own a wooden gun, it's all over for them black ones.
That's it. So Pierre Luc came over last night to buy the barrel off, and he's like, well, what's up, man? Like, why are you selling the barrel off your shotgun? What did you do to it now? Because every time I see it, it looks different. And I reached, I said, do you want to see? I said, brace yourself. And I reached into my gun safe, and I took it out, and his jaw dropped. And it's kind of funny, because I have two gun safes, and one is for guns that have wood, and one is for the other guns, right?
Because they can't mix. Segregation is still strong in the Perlatte.
It is. The wood guns are actually not even on the same floor. They're down. They're a little.
They're downstairs.
They're in, third class, right? It's like the Titanic. So...
Steerage.
So I sold the stock went to Ontario to our friend the conquistador, and the barrel went literally up the street like one block. And I still have the +3 extension from S&J Hardware and the Method Tactical six shell carrier saddle thing that goes on the receiver to get off, and then that's it. So again, cutting, fewer guns that I'll run more often.
Right.
Excellent.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So, not to be outdone by Owen, he's taken some people shooting. I helped got a social worker at work set up to go take his RPAL. And then a guy from Addiction Services came into work. Not for me. Ha, ha, ha.
First call they ever did with someone addicted to guns.
I figured I'd make the joke before you guys did. So he come in and he's like, so I heard you're helping so-and-so get a license. I'm like, yeah, are you interested? Yep. You want to go shooting? Yep. So that's awesome because his sons already do archery, and so now I'll be hopefully at the range next week with a social worker and a counselor from Addiction Services. The same kind of people you take the range every week, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so they'll go back to their liberal-filled office. So what did you do this weekend? I shot a Glock and a Mossberg 590.
And an assault rifle.
Yeah.
And then they'll get fired.
No, not around here, thankfully, but I saw a kid, about a 12-year-old kid, walking home from school today with a camo jacket and an orange hat. Just giving the thumbs up as I was driving by. Oh, jeez. So that's it for me. Matthew, how about you?
Did a little bit of hunting. I'm away from home right now. I'm actually in Newfoundland. I'm under rock. The time difference is really killing. The jet lag is horrible. That extra 30 minutes is really weird.
You're used to everything being, when you travel, you're used to it being an hour. So where it's only 30 minutes, it really throws your system off.
Really throws everything off. It's really odd. But,
are you you going to club a seal while you're there? Do they do that over there?
Certainly going to try. I mean, why wouldn't I, really?
Well, really. Now, what about getting screeched in? You got to get a hold of Jeff Reese and see if he can get some of his buddies to take you out on St. John's. And get
is Jeff Reese around here? No,
he's in Calgary, but he could make some calls. I'm sure he'd either
make some calls for me. Yeah, that'd be great.
He could either get you screeched in or get you kicked off the island, whatever he feels like. Yeah.
But anyway, before I left, I had a day to kill while the girls were all getting their hair done and stuff. So I went hunting with Curtis Monday morning. And we went grouse hunting and saw no grouse, but about half a dozen turkeys. So that was really cool. Turkeys are making their return, their triumphant return into New Brunswick, and I haven't seen them as far north as Florenceville yet until now. So Curtis has a herd. I believe it's herd, right? A herd of turkeys? No? Certainly is. I'm sure it's a murder. Probably a murder.
No, it's not a murder. It's not a bale. You know what a bale is?
A
flock. A bale
are
is.
Are you sure it's a flock? That's too easy.
Yeah.
Flock of turkeys.
Not
yeah.
like they're birds or anything, you know.
It's a gaggle of geese, right? And geese are birds.
And a murder of crows.
That's right. And a sinister of ravens.
And bale is turtles.
A bale of turtles?
A bale of turtles. A group of turtles is called a bale.
Well, now I've heard it all.
Yep.
All right.
Anyway, we saw a bale of turkeys.
No. All right. I'm going to Wikipedia it while you continue your story.
Sure. You do that. So anyway, that same day I went hunting with Owen, and we saw corn. So that was cool. That's pretty much all we saw, right, Owen?
Yeah, pretty much.
We went to that same cornfield he was talking about earlier, and basically we waited. And he's like, no, there's all kinds of bear around here. I think I even stepped in some bear poop at one point. So, I mean, there was definitely bear signs. But we didn't see any.
Well, we had a snow flurry and quite a high wind. And
The weather wasn't really.
Yeah, it kind of put them off. Even though it quieted down and kind of just as we were getting there, I think it was still enough to put them off. Plus, my scaring them 2 nights before probably didn't help.
Probably not. But that morning, out with Curtis, I was watching the ground for tracks and stuff, and we saw all kinds of cool different types of tracks. But anyway,
guys, you ready?
Yeah.
No.
A rafter of turkeys.
Yeah.
Yeah, what? That makes perfect. A rafter, because turkeys used to live in barns, right? So they fly up the rafters. I'm making that up. It's just like completely out of my butt there. I have no idea. So a rafter of turkeys.
Yeah.
Anyway, while we were out looking at this rafter of turkeys, a bale of turtles walked by. No, I'm kidding. But,
or a troop of baboons.
A troop of baboons.
A troop,
yeah.
Any other animals you want to know about? No?
I'm good for now.
Okay.
So we walk out to this orchard that we usually see game at. And like I said, I'm watching the ground. And no real significant tracks until we leave. And on our way back, there were extremely fresh bear tracks. So we were being followed by a bear, it turns out. So we didn't actually see it, but it was kind of cool to see the tracks. Other than that, I am going to be outdone. I didn't take anybody shooting, and I have no plans to. So, I should change that. I don't know. Actually, funny story. It's not funny at all. But some local kids and their father, they just moved up from Oklahoma. Their dad had no problem getting his hunting license. He's now a resident of New Brunswick, so he got his resident license based on his old hunting licenses and whatnot from other places. They had no problem giving him his license.
Man, I'm glad they changed that.
Yeah, his sons, even though they have hunter safety education, they don't have New Brunswick hunter safety education.
Oh, so they didn't change it.
Even though, well, for the father, no problem.
Because he's over 18.
Must be.
It's 1982 in New Brunswick, anyone born... 81. After 81, Owen?
81.
Yeah, 81 born after 81.
I missed it by 1 year.
They have to take the course, but I thought unless they had the course from somewhere else.
Or if they never hunted before. Now, that's it. I told you this happened to my buddy with his archery thing. They will not recognize other provinces' hunter safety programs. And all it is a dirty money grab.
Yeah, that's what I said, too. He said he wasn't going to fight it. You know, it's going to do the kids good anyway to go take their course, so... They're gonna go. I mean, they have a course already, but Look at the New Brunswick one, I guess, and look at to hear about New Brunswick wildlife and stuff too. So.
We're not the only one that does this, because my buddy got his bow hunter course in Newfoundland, moved to Alberta. Alberta made him take one, and then when he came to New Brunswick, he went to the DNR in New Brunswick, laid, listen, buddy, I got a conservation card from Newfoundland, I got a conservation card from New Brunswick. They said, that's nice, our course costs this much, and the date is next month.
Wow.
It's a money grab.
It is, yep. But...
It's anyway. Why don't they do that with driver's license, right? Because God knows if you leave Quebec, you need to learn to drive. So
you certainly do. You should. I like that example. No offense to Mario and Jasmine, of course. Because
especially Jazz, he drives for a living. But
that's right. But all the rest of you.
So,
anyway, that's pretty much all I did. I don't plan on getting any shooting done here on the Rock, unfortunately, because I don't know where to shoot, I guess. But apparently Arms East is only a couple blocks away from where I am now, so I'm going to see. I don't even know. Do they have a storefront?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to pop by there if I get a chance then, and I think, Trevor, you asked me to pick up some stuff for you if they have it, so I'll look into that for you as well. But
by it, but they were closed. It was a Sunday or something.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I'll see if I can hit that at some point and say hi to the guys and pick up your gear for you.
Yeah, find out about IPSC on Newfoundland and find out about the Black Rifle scene. I mean, the Canadian distributor for Stag is in St. John's, Newfoundland, which has a whopping population of...
seven now that I'm here.
Well, no, but what, seriously, like 60,000? If that,
I don't know.
Maybe?
I don't know.
Size of Moncton?
I didn't count as
a good
place.
It's a pretty good size place.
Yeah. So.
Anyway. Yeah, that's pretty much me.
T-shirt orders. How many do we have so far? I haven't been counting.
I made a list. We've
checked it twice.
The list has officially been created. Okay. So if you want a t-shirt, send us an email. Say, add me to the list. This is what I want. This is the size I want. And when we have 10 people, we'll start asking for money and we'll get the t-shirts made.
So emails can be sent to?
Slamfireradio@gmail.com. Or...
that's probably the best.
Just do that, just do that, please, because I got some personal ones, and then we got some on our Facebook page.
That's right, just send them all to slamfireradio@gmail.com.
Yeah, it'll just be easier for us if you send it all to one location, please.
That's right. Yep. Cool.
Awesome.
Owen, just total squirrel moment. Also, let's push the Tommy thing. Let's push Tommy downstairs.
Push him down a hill.
Here's what we know so far. Tommy will know in January if he can get the August 1st weekend off. So that's still the weekend we all want. I've talked to the club, and at the next month's meeting, I'm going to book those dates, whether they jive with Tommy or not. We'll book them now so that we have them, and if we don't need them, we'll give them back. Mm-hmm. Tommy wants a maximum of 12 people. So we already have us three plus two from Ontario.
So there's only seven more slots available.
Right.
Well, so, I'm still trying to convince my wife, so...
To come take the course?
Yes.
Nice.
Awesome.
Cool. She wasn't like, oh yeah, I'll do that, but she didn't say no.
Cool.
Her main concern is she'll be the only girl there. So if there's any ladies out there that want to come and want to participate, that let me know so I can... use that as leverage.
Yeah.
Even if you lie, that's cool.
That's right.
I can think of a certain couple in Ontario who were at the charity shoot who were...
Oh, yeah. Jessica and...
RJ.
Yeah, RJ.
Is it RJ?
Yeah.
RJ Woods?
Rick. Rick.
Right. Yeah. And Jessica,
See, I think RJ is actually their initials, Rick and Jessica.
That's what I was implying. I didn't... Maybe. It sound like I was saying that was his first name? Because that's
that
I was doing.
Sound right at all.
No, I don't even know what I'm talking about. So that's it, guys. We're going to fill up fast. So
do we have a projected price anyway? Something to ballpark we can throw out there?
No. Until we firm it up with Tommy, I'd rather not.
So $20, if we can't just say it's going to be about $20, give or take 100 times that.
Yeah. No, realistically... The course can't be more than...
It's going to be a couple $100, probably.
It'll be less than three, for sure.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's pretty standard.
Yeah, exactly.
It is. That's pretty standard for a training course like that, you know.
I know mean, normally you guys, you know, we have to pay you to come hang out with us, but, you know, I think this one it'll be worth it to actually pay the money and get some actual training from people who really know what they're talking about, unlike, well, Owen.
Right. So it's fixing up to be a busy summer. Hopefully we'll get a charity shoot going in the month of June. Then we'll have SummerSlam July 17th, 18th. Then we'll have Tommy the first weekend of August. And then we'll do the three gun the last weekend before we go back to school.
Before we go back to, I love it.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the listeners are all...
They're all going to go back to school.
They all have their summers off, same as us.
Sure, everybody does, right? So, the beautiful part is SummerSlam is earlier, so we're going to have the three gun earlier because October is late. It also interferes with hunting. I have not gotten out once. That's wrong.
Yeah. So, if I had not promised to be there like months and months before, I would not have been there.
Yeah. No. Yeah, it's, you know, we only get one hunting season a year, really. Well, one fall one, anyway.
Really? Well, really, we got several, because there's bear, and there's geese, and there's dock, and there's deer, and there's grouse, and...
Yeah.
But yeah, just the one.
The fall one is the most important one for most people.
Well, they all kind of overlap right around, you know, in that October.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. The main topic, which is zombie defense... Which guns?
Because it's Halloween, right? Because
this is Halloween, right?
Yes.
Which guns would you choose and why? So I'm gonna go
first of all,
AR, KSG, Glock 17. Okay, on to the listener feedback.
That does pretty much sum it up, doesn't it? I mean, take the popular ones and go. Now, see, the thing is, you don't need a shotgun. See, I'm totally against shotguns for zombie defense. They make no sense at all.
Explain.
Ammo is way too heavy, way too big. You can't carry enough of it around. Your gun doesn't carry enough in the tube. I mean, you're going to run out faster than you run out of zombies, and that's always bad.
Yes.
Okay, so no...
I mean, just because they depict it in the movies, nah.
Here's where I think a shotgun is applicable to a person who's not a gun person, because, let's face it, you can... You have more room for error in missing.
Right.
I think they're good for a defensive position where, you know, you're shooting, you're not out on the street being chased, you know, you're in a covered position where you have some protection and
So instead of giving them an easy rifle to shoot, like an AR that reaches out to 600 yards, you might as well wait till the zombies are within 30 yards and start blasting with your shotgun. That makes way more sense.
Well, that's not saying you're not shooting at 600.
I'm kidding.
The one thing that keeps bringing me back to the shotgun for a zombie apocalypse is...
Walking Dead.
The margin of error... The accuracy, you don't have to be as precise. You don't have one single little 55-grain projectile trying to impact. You know, if you line things up correctly with some SSG in close quarters, you may take two heads off.
You may. And I just wanted to say, are we talking like zombies where you need headshots here? Because
only zombie there is. Come on now. Yeah.
No.
Okay, we needed to establish the rules apparently. If you don't hit a zombie in the head, we're going to do this right.
They have rules here?
Yeah. Zombies only
radio.
Zombies only go down with headshots. Let's play it that way.
So then why are you using a gun that has such little accuracy that, you know, it's good for center of mass shots and really not terribly great for headshots unless you're basically stuffing the barrel down their mouth?
No. Inside of 30 yards with one eye closed and a gimped up arm, you can hit a zombie in the head with a 12-gauge. Come on.
Like 70. Or if I have my goose gun, 80.
There you go.
With buckshot? Have you tried that choke with buckshot?
No, well, originally it was designed for buckshot, actually. They originally designed the Patternmaster for buckshot.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Focus,
yeah. Bring us back, Trevor, because you're the one.
This is a gun show here, guys.
Yeah, well, we have a topic, and it's how to kill a zombie effectively.
It's not with a shotgun, really.
You stick a knife in their eye, and then you move on.
So now, okay, let's also go back to the rules. Are we talking three-gun battery or one? My intention here was you only have one.
Yes,
the ultimate Zombie firearm. You can only pick one gun to take on the horde coming down the street. What do you take and why?
Oh, clearly a 12-gauge shotgun. What else?
Seriously?
I was arguing against that.
Yes, you were. So, Owen, back to you now. One gun.
Yeah, AR-15.
AR-15. Well, what kind of configuration? What kind of ammo? What kind of optic?
Any standard, semi-automatic. Like, I don't want AR-15 for me, but for another guy, it might be a CZ, you know, whatever. It's semi-automatic.
Yeah, come on.
Military-style rifle. But for me, it's an AR-15 just because that's what I'm familiar with.
Right. In my case, it could be the CZ-858 if magazine capacity is not an issue.
Which it wouldn't be. Trust
exactly.
if the zombies come, the rivets are gone. Come on.
That's right. So for you, it's the AR. So are you going to go with your 14.5-inch NEA, or would you go longer? Yeah. Would you go shorter?
No. I'm going to go short because let's face it. I've read the book. If they're not in that close, I'm avoiding. I'm not taking them on. I'm going to avoid. And anything really at 100 yards and greater,
you can get away from it. Yeah, that's right.
I mean, unless they're on me and they're following me, I'm just avoiding everything.
So, okay. So you're...
And then the first thing I'd be looking for is a silencer.
Suppressor. Sure. Good. Yeah. No, I hadn't thought of that, but that makes total sense. If the whole idea of them being attracted to sound is going to play a factor, then a suppressor on a short-barreled AR, absolutely necessary. Now, what caliber?
5.56.
You would just go 5.56. You wouldn't go like 300 blackout, especially if you're going suppressor.
No, I don't think so. I mean,
you're still
going to
get that supersonic crack with even with a suppressor. It's going to sound like the 22.
You can get subsonic 300 blackout. It's the ideal AR round for.
No. That's why. No, that's why I was commenting on him staying with 5.56.
Oh, sorry.
It's always supersonic.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to go with that just because that's what you're most commonly going to find.
That's true. That's a good point.
I've got to fight the hordes. I'm going to run out of ammo eventually. I'm going to have to scavenge, and there's not a whole lot of 500 blackout kicking around Woodstock, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
I mean, that's what I'm looking at. There's not going to be any ammo trucked in, so I've got to scavenge from the military, from civilians, and it's going to be 223 is what you're going to see in any, that's going to run in my gun.
Well, the thing is, in New Brunswick, that's kind of true because we do have our silly caliber restriction rules here, and so there will be a lot of the 223 around. So, it's a good point.
And optic, irons, spark.
No, again, spark. I don't need to reach out because anything out that far, I'm avoiding. So, and if it comes to that, Of course, I say, I can make that shot, but the 3-gun proved that I can't.
You couldn't make it with a timer,
So I got to work on that a little bit. Yeah. But with some practice, I mean, I've only shot that shot. I've never shot that optic at 100, to be honest with you.
I thought you did that with me that one time.
Oh yeah, maybe I did once.
Yeah, you hold-blooded it, if I remember
not
right.
Not very often. It's something I got to work on, but I think with a little practice, I could become proficient with it.
Actually, if I remember right, you were hitting very close to what we were aiming at with it. So it was just a matter of you dialing it in at 100, I think, lining it up, I believe, is a technical term. Isn't that right, Trevor?
It is in Woodstock, line in. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. No, let's face it, the AR has, you can put all kinds of attachments on it if you want a flashlight, which is important, and everything else, but it has the high magazine capacity. It's ergonomic. It's, quite compact. I might want one a little bit lighter than what I have, but hey.
Well, the thing is, though, if you use yours, you can double it as an anchor.
Yeah, there you go.
You always throw it over the boat and stop that Titanic.
So.
Awesome. Yeah. What about you, McClatchy?
Kel-Tec PMR 30.
Ooh.
Yeah, see, here's my reasoning. Now, for those listeners who don't know what it is, and Owen, it's a 22 Magnum double-stacked handgun, holds 25 rounds in the magazine.
30.
Is it 30? That's right, PMR 30, right, 30, the amount of number, the amount of rounds it holds. So yeah, 30 rounds of 22 Magnum. I don't see any reason, I'm with Owen on this, you see them, then you avoid them. I mean, if they're on top of you, then you shoot them, but other than that, don't don't engage them if you don't need to. So I'm thinking a pistol on the hip allows me to carry my axe, my hatchet, my K-bar, you know, all my other tools, that food, you know, children, wife, you know, whatever else needs to come with me during the apocalypse. So
that is very true.
22 magnum pistol, I think, and with 30 rounds in the mag, a couple of, you know, you get 3 mags, that's 90 rounds ready to go. And, you know, if you come across a horde of 90 zombies, hopefully you have friends, and hopefully your friends aren't those zombies. But otherwise, I'm shooting you directly in the face, Trevor, if you're a zombie. I'm just saying, it's because I love you.
Nothing personal.
And I look forward. No, wait, what? That doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, that's I'm with Owen. You know, you don't engage them up close. And I like the idea of him with the AR, nice, short, portable, easy to maneuver with, and that's a great rifle, I think. But you know, we can't all say AR-15, so. I think a high capacity or standard, a high standard capacity semi-auto 22 Magnum pistol would be, I think that would be the cat's meow.
Yeah.
I mean, it doubles as small game hunting. It doubles as self-defense against, you know, non-zombified two-legged predators. It's, I think it's an all-around really good pistol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome.
So, yeah. So I guess that brings us to Trevor.
I think a lot of people are going to be surprised by this, but
I already am.
I'm not. I know exactly what you're going to say.
Go for it.
No, you say it.
Oh, no, you're going to, come on, you know, what am I going to say?
I think you're going to go with a long-range bolt gun.
Nope. Ooh, his TAC-21. That is portable.
You couldn't be any further. You couldn't be any further off the mark.
Really?
Yep.
It's his 357 Magnum.
Also way off.
Really? How can they both be way off? They're the exact opposite of each other.
How about this?
One of them's got to be closer than the other.
I saw the Red Jacket episode on zombies, and they had two different guns going.
Are you going to take the Ruger 10/22?
Yep.
That's not a bad choice.
Semi-automatic in a bullpup configuration, keeps it lightweight, close to my body, short, compact, 25 round mags. I can carry oodles and oodles of ammunition with an optic on there, like an EOTech with the small little dot in the middle and the larger circle reticle. You're catching all kinds of skull quickly. You can acquire your targets, a sight picture, really quick. You know, the Ruger 10/22 is reliable. And the 22.
Yeah, easy to find high capacity mags for it.
Yep.
And yes, I'm correct in saying high capacity because the standard capacity is 10.
Do you think, though, that a 22 long rifle has the stopping power out to 100 yards?
On a corpse, I think it does.
Think so?
I'm shooting at the king. Yeah, you're shooting skulls.
I saw a video where a guy, or was it a video or was it a forum post, where a guy wrapped a thawed turkey in like 3 layers of denim, and then at 300 yards, the 22 long rifle went through all the layers of denim, no problem, and halfway through a frozen thawed turkey. So I think it's going to penetrate a skull, personally, especially if you're doing what Owen and I are, keeping the shots up close.
Yeah.
I shot a 22 through a moose's skull, a dead moose's skull. I wasn't poaching. I found a moose skull once, and I wanted to see if a 22 would go through it, and it certainly does, in one side and out the other.
Yeah, so, dried bone, though, is not the same.
Sure, yeah.
Still,
I understand that. I still think a 22 is going to penetrate and stop the zombie, but you may need more than one shot. But again, you got the high-capacity mags, and you can afford a couple of extra shots, especially at 5 cents a round.
Yeah,
I have a lot of trouble with mine. I've got a couple of those 25-rounders. I have an awful lot of trouble. They do not
function
well.
You have Butler Creek
non-steel lip,
don't you?
Yeah.
No, they're the steel lips.
Really?
The other steel lips.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I've even tried to modify them, like file the bolt catches on the back of the steel part.
Try the Pro Mag ones. Also, if you get them, the TI-25s, Tactical Ink. I had that for mine, and flawless. Absolutely flawless. But, yeah. Cool. So yeah, Trevor, that's a good choice. I like that. I mean, I was going to go 22 semi-auto rifle, but, you know, I figured everybody would guess that's what I was going to go with, so I thought I'd switch it up.
If you could have a second choice, so I want to hear your second choices too. My second choice would be the VZ-58 with the restricted length barrel. Maybe even all the way down to the, what do they make, a 10.5, don't they? like the shortest VZ, not the really, maybe not the 7.5, but if they do like a 10.5.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, because I really do like the 7.62x39 round. Assuming that I had that firearm, I would have, what did I have on hand last time? 4,000, right?
So, yeah, if you had a couple of crates around of that ammo, I mean, that's great. It's not terribly portable to carry 4,000 rounds of that around like it is. I mean, you could carry 4,000 rounds of 22 around. I mean, that's not hard to do. But 4,000 rounds of 7.62 is a little heavier. But, I mean, if you were operating out of a base, then, you know, it makes sense that you could stockpile that ammo and use it as you needed it.
Yep. So,
I don't know what I would go with for a second choice. Let me think about that for a second. Owen, what do you have for a second choice?
Mm.
So we're coming back to you, too. Trevor, what's your second choice?
Another AR? No, I mean, my second choice probably would be the 22 just because of the portability of ammo. But I don't know. I just don't trust it out to...
Well, that yeah. I mean,
100 yards.
Anything past 100 yards with a 22, you're not gonna have enough energy.
That being said, I wouldn't trust it out past 50. But you know, 50 yards away, I'm moving, right?
I think you can trust it out to 100. I've done enough 22 shooting to know that 100 yards and a 22 go together just fine.
And this is why 22 is a better choice than a 12 gauge, because you're gonna get longer range.
Yep.
With better stopping power at the longer range, and it's going to be lighter, compact, you're going to carry more ammo.
Well, I don't know about better stopping power.
Now, out there. I'm talking out there.
Oh, when I see what you mean. The ability to place your stopping power.
Yeah, like, I mean, if you have a cylinder bore and you shoot a buckshot at a target 100 yards away, I might let you do it to me. You know? So...
I guess for second choice, I'd have to go with, I would probably go with a scoped longer range, like 223 or 22-250 or 270 or something like that. Just so I would have the ability. I mean, if I'm running a pistol,
same conditions, but your PMR goes down.
Oh, my PMR goes down, and I have to pick a backup.
Yeah, same conditions. You're still facing the horde face on.
Right. Yeah, I'd be torn between Owen's AR and your 22. I'd pick. You know what? I'd probably take the AR and just have a conversion kit that Filthy gave me nearby. So
I was gonna say that. That was gonna be my first choice. My 10.5-inch NEA back. I was just looking at a picture of it. It's a screensaver on my TV. All guns that I haven't used to have, and the NEA comes up. And I got a picture of it resting on the magazine, and the stock is completely collapsed. It's just this tiny little compact package. And I thought to myself, put a 22 conversion kit in that, and that's the gun to have. However, not all 22 conversion kits are super duper reliable, right?
That's so, and you're definitely going to be less accurate with the 7 twist.
That's when I thought, well, I'd rather have a dedicated compact 22. Yep. And
that's right.
That little bullpup conversion kit that Red Jacket made, that's the answer to make your 22 super compact.
Compact, yeah, definitely. And you don't sacrifice your barrel length. You can still get all the energy that you can squeeze out of a 22.
Exactly, exactly. Well,
all right. We should move on to email. I think we got quite a bit here to deal with. So.
Yep, and we're almost at an hour here. So
yeah.
Well, that being said, listeners who have their suggestions for what they would want to use, you know, you get two choices. You know, one is what you would primarily use, and then your second choice is if your primary went down. What would you pick for guns? Send us an email. Let us know.
And if you want to tell Matthew he's wrong, we'll listen to that too. That's
absolutely.
That's fine. Yeah.
I don't get it enough from my wife, so I might as well hear it from you.
Criticism, you mean?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. All right.
So who wants to go first?
I'll take the first one. It's kind of short and sweet.
Sure.
This one comes to us from Random Guy. So those of you who have been listening long enough know that's Matthew Bolivar. And
no, it's who?
It's
who is it?
It's Bolivar and Foley's buddy, Dave, from Ontario.
Yep.
So Dave
actually listened. You know, I actually listened to one of their shows today, coming back from Fredericton.
Because Dave was on it, right?
That was the only reason.
And
that's why I listened, yeah.
He did a fantastic job.
He did.
Yeah.
he was very natural and seems like he's been doing this podcasting thing for a while. I don't want to say he's better than the other two hosts, but
well,
he was.
He's like the Owen of that show. He should really be on as the Owen, the calm, cool, collected guy in the background who kind of keeps everything
and just
realistic.
Drops surgical comments, right? He just comes right in and cuts you and then comes out again, right? He doesn't just run off the mouth like you and I do.
Right. You don't know you're dead until after he's done
that. That's right. You've been in hell for 30 seconds before you realize that it's over, right? So Dave says, "Dear Slamfire hosts, thanks again for the invite to the Three Gun. Great hanging out with you guys and do some shooting as well. I've got a conundrum that I've been working on since the match, especially since it turns out that Matt would have still beaten Trevor's score if he'd been shooting in open with iron sights. All three of you place quite well in the match. Each of you has a beard. I don't think it's a coincidence. Those beers range from Matt's, air quotes, good thing he doesn't drive a van with free candy written on the side, to Scruff, to Trevor's, I was trying to be Grizzly Adams, but a rabid groundhog nested in my beard, facial hair, and Owen's, women swoon, men are jealous, and EA is trying to find out just who the bearded devil is so they can put him on the box cover of their next shooter. Anyway, I digress. I'm wondering, in a steel cage match, which of your beards would come out on top? So far, I'm leaning towards Owen, assuming that Matt's beard didn't club him with a folding chair, but I'm wondering about your thoughts on this topic. Thanks, Random Guy Dave. And yes, Matt, I'm aware that if you use 12-gauge number 7 shot, the bird will never know what hit it. So that must have been a side conversation you guys had, Matt.
I don't know. I think he was just being random because he started off talking about open sights, went into beards, then there's a cage match.
There's a cage match between our three beards, yeah. Everybody, I don't know, Matthew, everybody always thinks Owen's the most deadly of the three and would take us in a fight and stuff. And
I don't know. I think if you and I teamed up on him, we could take him.
I think it just, you know, why?
I did regularly fight multiple people when I was sword fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but did these people have ARs though at 200?
Yeah,
years,
we would go to a practice, and I would fight everyone consecutively for about an hour and a half. And everybody would be pissed off enough, they all go, "Okay, it's everyone against Owen." They'd all jump me.
You remind me of a friend I went to university with who was way up there in Aikido, and I used to routinely get drunk and grab a hold of him because nobody else was dumb enough to do it. And I always told him this, in a real fight, I would just shoot you.
Mm-hmm. That's basically all I would do with Owen. If Owen ever got mad at me, I would beat him.
So in a cage match, who would win?
He's asking about which of our beards would win.
Well, see, my beard has a certain amount of gray, which means wisdom and experience.
I was just going to say experience. Yeah, it's nothing to do with, you know, decrepitness. Old knees.
That's right.
You know, bad back and arthritis. No.
That's right.
It's wisdom.
It's been around long enough to know how to work around those things. That's what my beard says.
My beard is red, so it has that, you know, kind of fiery, determined, stubborn, you know, side. Plus, pretty soon it's going to be bushy enough, I'll be able to hide a shiv in it.
You just described all the redheads I dated.
Oh, man. I'm not going to comment about my beard because it's not nearly as epic.
But you were saying today that it's time to step up and get a full-blown tactical man beard going on?
I was thinking about, you know, growing it out, but we'll see.
It's going to look ridiculous if the three hosts of the show all have beards. Well, you and I always had goatees, yeah. And Owen, you never knew if he was going to show up with a beard or not.
That's right. Now it appears that the beard is now a permanent fixture on his face. So
it's a staple, yeah.
I've been warned not to shave it off, actually, so by my wife.
Well, that's the rule with my goatee. I'm not allowed to shave off my goatee.
See, I like to do it every once in a while just to freak out the kids.
Yeah.
But I've had it for a couple of years now, and so I like to, you know, every once in a while shave it off and watch them laugh and roll on the floor, and the youngest one to kind of stare in horror and wondering who the strange man in the house is.
Yeah.
Who is that guy?
But my beard is thinking about learning some Brazilian jiu-jitsu this winter.
Really?
Oh.
So, yeah.
Oh, this
I
goes on.
I just
signed
my
the...
beard out for a tactical course with Tommy, so.
And as I told you the other night on Facebook, Owen, the only thing my beard can find is taekwondo. I might just take up walking.
I think
instead.
All your beard needs, Trevor, is just for men.
Oh, my beard's fine the way it is. I would ever, you know, the cost of just for men is the same as a six pack, and that would make me happier.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, why don't we move on?
Yes, Owen, take this next one, would you, from Eric? All
right. He says, as awesome as you guys are, and, well, as third place or so, the Furlot is, you totally dropped the ball on this last episode, at least on the hunting topic. You let us down as hunters, straight to the point. That is to say, if that damn rock doesn't show up again, species that we can hunt in Canada, you totally missed.
Hey, what about the time? No, I'm just kidding. Let's go ride bikes.
Mule deer, pronghorn antelope.
I said both of those.
You
back
said
up.
Both of
those. I
yeah.
said muleys and prong, and I didn't even call them pronghorn.
And you even said
antelope.
Bison. He's got bison listed here.
Yeah,
because remember
I said muley.
I think maybe you said buffalo, but you know.
Same still, animal. But I did say sure. muley. I did say pronghorn.
Yeah, finish.
Yes, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
We weren't interrupting you. We were interrupting Eric.
That's right.
Species that we can hunt in Canada, you totally missed. Mule deer, pronghorn, antelope, cougar, sheep, rock, goat, bison, wolves. I saw a walrus on a list somewhere, too. That'd be
and
cool.
And seals.
The majestic walrus. Kind of make for a weird shoulder mount, eh?
But awesome.
Good points about equipment and overkill. I agree on all counts. It's funny, I got into a conversation today on Facebook on a local hunting page about this too. Like I say, there are hunters and people who hunt. My primary hunting rifle is a Remington Sendero.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. In 7 Remington Mag for most applications. A Winchester Model 94 in 357 Winchester.
Love it.
375 Winchester.
375, sorry. What did I say?
357. Now who's the dyslexic?
Yeah, 375. I was going to say, 357 doesn't sound like very big. I've never heard of a Winchester 94 and 357.
But I think you can get them.
Marlin for sure makes one, yeah.
That's true.
Some of the cowboy
action guys.
That'd
be a fantastic rifle round. How many could you fit in the tube? Many, many, many. And 357 out of a 18 or 19-inch barrel would really start moving, I think.
It was on my list for a while there when I wanted a set of Ruger New Vaqueros, and I also wanted the carbine lever action, right, in 357 mag.
So anyway, he has that for bushwhacking, and a Tika T3 Varmint in 7.5 by 55 Swede for yotes.
6.5 by 55. You screwed up all of those.
Nice. Man,
every single one of them.
I am glad that I have finished this beer because, okay, he says it's an awesome little round. I practice all my rifles year-round in all conditions. I have my draw for antlered mule deer in southern Alberta. I'll let you know how I make out on that little endeavor. Oh, and Furlot's idea about the longer barrel for his AR, while not incorrect, kind of just sounds like more excuses.
He's a race car driver. Top gear guys will get that.
Saw a guy making good hits on an IPSC target out to 400 meters with an AR, 8-inch barrel, and 300 blackout, and a 4x scope. Longer barrel has its main advantage in more complete powder burn, yielding better and more consistent velocities, which can translate into better accuracy. Their trade-off is that the bullet is in the barrel longer, and if you have a wicked bad flinch, you'll end up throwing rounds. Hey, speaking of which, I wonder if the crown on the Warning Shots AR barrel needs a redo, or if the barrel is, as speculated, totally shot out. Thanks for the show. As always, keep up the good work. Your ADD pal, Eric. And that's Savage Lapua on CGN GOC. P.S., have you seen my bike?
Well, I can assure
the rock.
Eric. Yeah. Trevor doesn't have a wicked bad flinch, so the longer barrel is not going to hurt him in that regard, so I don't think that's going to be an issue. And as for my barrel, the crown looked just absolutely fantastic when I put on the flash hider, so I mean, I haven't seen it recently. The flash hider's been on there ever since I've had the barrel or the rifle put together, but the crown didn't look bad, so I'm speculating that this the combination maybe I've got a wicked bad flinch. Yeah, maybe the combination of cheap Norinco ammo and the short barrel, you know, slower velocities, not stabilizing the bullet properly. It could be a combination of all of those. I'm really hoping that the new barrel I get from Trevor really solves that accuracy issue.
In defense of the Norinco ammo, I heated up the barrel on my AR and to the point where I discolored the end of it at the shock and awe. I've been concerned about it ever since, talking to a few people and stuff. I haven't had a chance to shoot it for groups 100 yet, but I did shoot it from about 20 off a bench and put them all in the same hole with the Norinco ammo. So it's not, I mean...
Mine can't do that at 20, so I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And so I would say your barrel is probably still just fine.
And the ammo can't be that bad. I know it's only 20, but still.
Yeah,
I made a jagged hole the size of a dime.
I've shot 50, like a 50 and 75 and stuff with that. And, not in the same hole, but, respectable groups.
Well, I'm hoping, like I said, I'm hoping Trevor's barrel gives me my respectable groups that I need, because then I'll actually have an AR that, works properly.
Cool.
So.
Yep. You got the next one, Matthew?
Yeah, well, is there anything else we needed to comment on with Eric's there? Except for the part where Owen screwed up all the rifles and we actually do hunt rocks in New Brunswick. So that's cool. Okay, no, we got them all.
I'm sorry we forgot so many species, but, we're kind of...
Wikipedia was apparently hard to read. All right, this next one comes to us from Rams. He writes, "Hey, guys. It's your mariner from the West Coast again."
Mariner.
No, it's mariner. I'm pretty sure I had it right the first time. "I think I'll give my mag-fed grizzly another chance. While I still stand by my statement of not trusting my life to it out of the box, I've been researching some of the mods people have done to get theirs working reliably, and I think I'll turn it into a project. In other words, it's like buying a 1911. I plan on adding a Magpul forend, a Nox recoil-reducing telescoping AR-style stock to the back end, and upgrading these sights to fiber optics. My wife and I loved your show on hunting. Even though she came from a family that didn't have any guns in the house, my wife has been eager to take her PAL and the provincial hunting course ever since I let her shoot my Savage 17 HMR. I'm going to trade in the Savage for a pink camo JR carbine in 9mm that accepts Glock mags. Yes, I've decided on the Glock, and I want to be able to share mags with my wife when the zombie apocalypse hits." Well, clearly we know what his choice for the right or for the apocalypse is going
to
be.
And this is why you need to get a Glock 17 like me and Owen.
I'll work on it. Not that you won't catch me shooting a pink camo gun either, as I hate bullies, breast cancer, and love the fact that it accepts those Glock drum mags that scare the hell out of aunties. It will also allow me to introduce my wife to the joys of carbine shooting and give me an excuse to start reloading. I think my favorite hunting gun out of the ones that I've owned was the Becal Drilling, chambered in 12 gauge for the top barrel and a 30-06 for the bottom. Both barrels shot great, and it was handy for hunting several... Yo.
That's... how did you pronounce it?
Becal.
It's Becal.
Becal? Yeah. Right, Becal. Sorry. Yes,
I learned to shoot a shotgun on a Becal 20 gauge.
A Becal, I'm pretty sure that's the right pronunciation. The Becal, well, same as mariner.
I wouldn't have stopped you if it was wrong. I mean,
is it a mariner Becal?
It's a mariner Becal.
Mariner Becal, maybe. I don't know.
Becal? No, it's Becal.
It's Russian.
Yeah, so there you go.
It's all I got to say about that. Anyway, he says it was hunting. It was handy for hunting several types of game at once, such as grouse, deer, and bear. Bears like the one found on Vancouver Island. He has Vancouver underlined for some reason.
Well, I said Victoria Island during the hunting episode.
No, you were right. It was Victoria. He doesn't know where he lives, clearly.
Or where the big bears are.
That's right. He can take his mariner Becal. Something,
it's Becal,
to Victoria Island and shoot a bear anytime he likes.
But not with that gun.
No, use a different gun. My hunting partner at the time was also a Vietnam vet who tended to hunt game by patrolling the local logging roads, as he couldn't do much hiking. And nothing makes you feel more like a mall ninja than a vet looking at the K-bar on your hip saying, "Hey, I got one of those, and it's used." I don't think he meant whittling sticks.
Yeah, well, exactly. Anyway.
The Baikal's break-open action allowed for quick shots, and the fact I only had the one gun to reach for made it that much simpler. My partner, on the other hand, often had to juggle between his lever action and his 410, depending on what popped out onto the road. Before I sign off, I just wanted to point Trevor in the direction of the CGN thread about the Versamax Tactical. It seems that while it may be stamped as a 3-inch, it physically accepts 3.5-inch shells. If it's true, and you can get your CFO to confirm in writing that they view it as accepting 3.5-inch and not just 3-inch, you pretty much have the perfect 3-gun semi without having to upgrade to a Benelli. If it's not true, you're forced to use a converted 26-inch barreled Versamax. Don't forget the bayonet lug. Cheers from Rams on CGN and GOC. He's got a PS. Matt, have you checked out our first-person defender yet? If you haven't, shout squirrel and let Trevor talk for half an hour. You should be able to make it through two episodes before he realizes what's going on.
All right, so I'm going to talk about the Versamax while you go check that out.
All right, well, first of all, he also included a personal note for me and Joel, and I just wanted to publicly say thank you to him for that. So,
publicly thank him for a private note. Okay.
That's correct. Yeah.
And he also included a picture of this Baikal. With a couple of dead partridge in a bag.
Are you sure they were partridge or gross?
Yeah, they were gross. But, you know, since we're mispronouncing everything tonight. Right. What do you guys think of these break-open guns that have two calibers and two barrels?
I like
them. I have one.
My Savage 24C was fantastic. I don't know why I ever sold it. Owen's got a Savage 24F, I think. Is it a V?
Yep.
Yeah.
There's two 22 Remington on top and 20 gauge in the bottom.
Yeah, and who is it?
I hate it.
You hate it?
Well, only because it's crappy trigger. But
yeah, it has a bad trigger. I fired it the other day and it was ridiculous. But that can be fixed. My Savage 24 had a fantastic trigger. Savage has come out with the Savage 42, which is your choice of 22 or 22 Magnum over top of a 410. And Chiappa now has what's called
Chiappa.
I'm pretty sure you're right. I'm pretty sure it's Chiappa. That's right. Or Chiappa. Chiappa, I believe, is the correct pronunciation. They've come out with the Little Badger Double or something like that. And it's, again, you can choose, I think it's over 20 gauge, so 22 or 22 Magnum over 20 gauge. So they're coming back, and I know why. They're a fantastic small game gun.
You got to hit him on the first shot, though. I'm always too good at that. If you're trying to shoot a grouse or something in the air, and yeah,
that is a downside to them.
But of course, when do you usually get two shots at something flying like that?
I usually don't even get
one shot.
I have once. I managed to take down a grouse out of the air with my second shot. And since then, it's been really hard for me to hunt with a single shot shotgun because I always in the back of my mind think, well, what if this time I need that second shot?
Yeah,
but it hasn't happened to me yet a second time, but it's still, you know, in the back of my mind. But still, Owen's right. You generally only get one shot off. So having the choice between 22 and 20 gauge, which was what mine was absolutely just phenomenal. You know, if the rabbit was sitting still, you know, 22 in the head. If it was running, you just flick it to 20 gauge and you pop him as he runs by. I mean, it worked great. Do you not like them, Trevor?
No.
No? Why not? Really?
Master of none, right?
Jack of all trades, master. Yep.
Yeah. I have a confession to make. I practice doing tactical reloads on my over under.
What's the problem? Yeah. You should know how to do that with all your firearms.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, that's true. But it's not really. I mean, it's the last gun. A single shot is the last gun you pick.
And what if
that's the one you have to use?
That's true. That's true.
You might as well be proficient with it.
I concur.
Yep. Yeah. I can reload that very fast.
Yeah. No, Trevor is right. I mean, it is master of none. It's not a fantastic 22. It's not a fantastic shotgun. It's both. And as long as you accept its limitations, I think it's a great small game gun.
It also
it's a great survival gun.
It's covered in this fibrous biological material.
Wood?
Yeah,
well,
that's it.
The Savage 42 isn't, actually. It's polymer.
Oh.
Yeah, it's ugly, though. Ugly as sin. It's horrible looking.
Yeah, well, The Mossberg tactical lever action is covered in polymer too, but I would still rather, you know, have my eyes cut out with a dull spoon than own one.
Why a spoon, cousin?
Because it's dull. It'll hurt more, you idiots. Wait, the Gundus just did that. Like, they literally just did that. Yeah.
Oh.
But you don't listen.
I haven't listened to them recently,
yeah,
so.
They literally just did that.
That's hilarious.
Who's got all this? Right. Yeah, go ahead.
So, this is from Old Enfields. But that's all right. I'm not like I'm, you know, head hostess week or anything.
No. So anyway, from Old Enfields. No, I'm kidding.
So he says, hello, guys.
Yeah. You want me to do,
I
do like every third word?
Yeah, every third.
I.
Wanted.
To.
Let.
Oh, my goodness. Don't do
that. Anyway, he says, I wanted to let you know that the HMRRC is a raffle of an
Heckler. You did it wrong. Heckler. It's MHRRC.
Did I really? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Medicine Hat Rifle and Revolver Club, I think.
Yes.
Oh, very well done. It is raffling a raffling off a Heckler & Koch SL.
All right.
SL8. The raffle is non-restricted.
The rifle.
Oh, my goodness. I got to get the screen closer. The rifle is non-restricted. You must be rubbing off on me, Trevor.
There it is. You can't read wrong without somehow making it my fault.
That's right. The rifle is non-restricted 223 and comes with a magazine adapter that allows you to the use of AR mags. As always, tickets are $10 each, and only 1,000 tickets will be printed. Draw is December 10th at the Redcliffe Legion. Information is available on CGN in General Firearms Discussion and on the Medicine Hat Rifle and Revolver Club website, mhrrc.ca. This is not the same as normal. Okay. Oh, what is not the same as normal is the contact info on this one. Army Cat on CGN and at mhcam13@gmail.com for tickets. Thanks
for
the great show.
That was an awkward sentence, and that wasn't your fault this time. That was just, yeah, that was weird. So anyway, if you want tickets, contact mhcam13@gmail.com.
You were going to say, Trevor, something.
Yeah, well, we forgot the Versamax section of that last email, so we'll go back
to
that if we're done with this.
So, well, why don't we finish off this one first?
Yeah, that's what I said. When we're done, this won't go back. Yeah. That was pretty much it, Aon.
Yeah. That was the email. There it is. And so we're just going to kind of... Trevor, why don't you tell us about this Versamax Tactical? What do you know about it?
Well, it's not so much what I know about it. It's the point that he raises is... Well, it's not the question. It's not what I know about it. It's the point that he raises... is that although the receiver or the barrel is stamped 3-inch, some guys are saying they can get 3.5 in, and that would be great, but I mean, you'd literally have to go to a certified verifier, have them write a letter to your CFO, have your CFO write a letter, so that if ever you were caught with, you know, more than what it
five
was.
Five rounds at 3.5.
Yeah. Then you'd have to, you know, show this letter to a DNR officer if you were, because it's not restricted and you were in the woods at a range. I mean, really, it doesn't matter, right? Restricted capacity at a range for makes no sense. But anyway, so let's assume that you have this non-restricted Versamax in the woods and you've exceeded the capacity of what would normally be a shotgun chambered in 3-inch. And all of a sudden you've got to pull out this letter from the CFO that says, no, Mr. DNR guy, Mr. Furlot has had this gun checked, and although the barrel says 3-inch, we certify that it will take 3.5-inch, and it's legal for him to put in 7 rounds, 2 3/4. Oh no, it's just too much.
So, what's the what's the difference in price between a Versamax and the Benelli?
I don't know, but there is a difference between the like the Versamax synthetic right now is at 26-inch, is at Cabela's for. They've got two versions. They've got one that's like 800 and one that's like 1200.
Hold on. I'm slightly confused. Is the Versamax only marked 3 and not 3.5?
No. The one that the three-gun guys want to get is a 26-inch barrel, thin synthetic stock and fore-end, black, and that particular one is chambered in 3.5-inch. The tactical version is only chambered in 3-inch. Now, I've asked about this. The barrel on the tactical version is shorter.
Right.
And if you go any shorter, apparently you run into reliability issues with cycling. So if you
were to... Right, because the semi, so you have gas tube or gas ports and all that stuff in there.
That's right. So if you go and buy yourself a 26-inch that's chambered in 3.5 and think you're going to get it cut down by a gunsmith and re-verified and whatnot, you might be running into reliability issues. That's why the shorter barrel is chambered in a shorter round, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah, so...
Maybe.
That's a story.
Benelli, I mean, Benelli is kind of the creme de la creme of shotguns. I mean, they make really nice stuff.
But you can't cram 9 2¾ in one.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Now, Foley did a ghost load on his.
Yep. You got 7, right, altogether?
Yeah. So it's doable, but you can't. I don't know if you can put an extension on it, and then it, would the extension exceed the capacity because it's not chambered in 3.5? So,
he got 8 in his. He got 6 in the tube, 1 ghost loaded, and 1 in the chamber.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay. Well, that's decent.
That's
bad. That's decent.
Because it's a 3-inch. It's a 3-inch chamber, and I think he can fit with 5 3-inches. I think he could fit in 6 2¾. Now, I could be wrong on that, but I think that's what it was.
I don't know if I'd rather have a smaller, compact Benelli and lose a round, or have the bigger, clunkier gun and get the round.
Nah, you just train to load. Figure it out exactly the same way you figure out your pistol. You don't go, gee, I wish I could run more than 10 in this magazine so I didn't have to figure out where to change my mag. You just figure out where to make your mag changes.
Well, do both.
Yeah, but it's the same with the shotgun. You bang, 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 and you know you have to move, so you learn to do a load quickly as you're moving, or transitioning. So it's
Round,
it's the same,
really?
It's the same principle.
Yeah.
The other thing you could do is just get the cheapest Mossberg 500 that money can buy, like I did, and still kick your butt with your 1300 shotgun.
Basically, yours is basically a Maverick, for crying out loud.
Pretty much, it even broke like a Maverick.
Yeah. the new 500s don't have the pump set up that way.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it had to do with where yours was made, eh?
It could have been. But mine's now set up the proper way, and it will not break again unless I'm really, really rough to it, or call it a bad name.
Slap it, spit on it. Never mind.
So, guys,
yeah,
just to kind of as an aside here, well, since we're talking about shotguns, I have to buy or I have to recommend a shotgun to this guy, this friend of mine, Andrew, this weekend. Because he wants to buy a shotgun for hunting. But he also wants it to double as a home defense gun.
He needs the same shotgun I have.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. And this is you can't buy it the way I have it. I have a 20-inch vent rib shotgun barrel factory with screw and chokes, twin bead. The way you have to do this, that's their turkey barrel. So you have to buy the any Mossberg 500, and the one that I got was the combo, came with a 26-inch barrel and an 18-inch security barrel.
They're still doing that.
Yeah, I just sold both of those barrels and used that money to buy the 20-inch turkey barrel and put it on, and that's all I did.
Okay. I will have to see. So you think a Mossberg 500?
That would be my recommendation, simply because they're inexpensive, they work very well, and they hardly ever break.
And, well, Stevens had a shotgun out not long ago that offered both barrels.
Random guy Dave in New Brunswick, random New Brunswick Dave, has one of those Stevens, but he has the 18-inch one.
Right, and did it come with both?
No, I think his just had the one.
Cause it was
and
like,
no choke, right?
But cheap, oh yeah, no choke, but heavy barrel, heavy gun, but dirt cheap. He paid less than $300 for him. It was like $265 or something.
Yeah.
Again, master of none, jack of all. You know, get get the good hunting gun, and it'll work fine as a home defense gun.
That's true. Just get a turkey gun. Just get him to buy a turkey gun, because it is a nice short barrel. You can get them between 20 and 24 inch barrels, which is a really nice walking through the woods line. They come with screw-in chokes. You can change up the choke. They usually come in camel pattern, which is really nice. You're easier, you know, when it looks good in the eyes and you know, whatnot. Mossberg offers them. Remington offers them. All kinds of places offer turkey shotguns. That would be my recommendation. But I would strongly recommend, Owen will beg to differ on this. I recommend get a 3-inch chamber, not a 3.5, especially if you plan on primarily running 2 3/4 loads through it.
Yeah, well, in a pump, I will agree with you.
Because the action is longer, right?
It is longer, and you don't get as good patterns because the forcing cone is farther out ahead.
Yeah.
And, you know, not only that, you know, if you're going to be running only 2 3/4 inch, why are you spending the extra money on a 3-inch, 3.5-inch chamber?
Only if it was a specific goose gun would I go 3.5.
Shooting 3.5-inch out of a pump is not
It's hard. No. No, it's almost the same recoil as a 10 gauge.
Yeah, I had a Mossberg 535.
Mm-hmm.
It was my first hunting shotgun, and it was chambered in 3.5, and I started shooting 3.5 with waterfowl. And if you did not have that gun right on your shoulder and right on your face,
you got whacked.
You hurt your face. Yep.
Did I tell you the stunt that Muffin pulled on me one day at the range? He gave me his 870 and said, "Here, tough guy, shoot this with one hand." I'm like, "Dude, I shoot shotguns with one hand all the time." Whatever. Yeah.
I see where this is going.
Yep. And guess whose 870 hit the deck? Blew straight out of my hand, took the skin off my knuckle.
Yep. No, you want to do that with target loads. Check your chamber.
Yeah.
But I'd recommend a turkey gun to this guy.
Yeah.
Okay. It's kind of a, you know, Trevor says it's a jack of all, master of none, but really it's a master of a turkey gun, and it does really good at home defense. It is really good at small game,
he's I don't see this guy really becoming a waterfowl hunter. He may use it for that occasionally if he comes hunts with me, but I think primarily it's going to be a woods gun, you know, a grouse gun.
Right.
Yep.
Well, he could also just pick himself up an 870 with a 28-inch barrel, and then an 18-inch barrel. When he's home, put the 18-inch barrel on it. When he goes hunting, put the 28-inch on.
Could do that too.
So,
But you could do that with a Mossberg, couldn't you? Don't they?
Yes,
make
you can. Yep, they actually have a combo you can buy, 26 and 18.
Yeah. I think it's probably, like,
350 on Cabela's.ca or something like that.
When it comes down to it, we're gonna walk into the local gun store
and buy what's on the shelf.
Yeah, and we're probably gonna go, okay, there's an 870, there's a Mossberg 500. Which one fits better? Which one feels better?
Yeah.
You know.
Going to Curry's.
I mean, at the end of the day, they're both good shotguns, and, you know, as long as it fits and the controls aren't an issue for them, which one, flip the coin. So, no, that's cool. All right.
Cool.
So, I don't think we had an iTunes review this week.
No, I checked.
Again, this is like the fifth week or fourth week in a row.
Oh, we got
come on, guys.
30-some 5-star ratings and then nothing.
Man, nobody loves us anymore.
That's the equivalent of saying you suck and we hate you. That's what they're doing. Yeah,
we'll give you a 5-star review just to be polite, but not gonna.
But not consistently.
Shout-outs?
Nothing.
I've got two, actually.
All right.
One of my good buddy Curtis and one of my good buddy Trevor, whose birthdays are both tomorrow. Ooh. So,
who? I know the first guy. Who's the other guy?
You're talking to him. So Trevor and Curtis both have birthdays on Halloween, which is probably why I like them.
That's neat. I have a couple of friends whose birthday is on Halloween too. They're siblings, and both of their birthdays are on the same day.
Crazy.
But they're not twins.
That's weird. So,
yeah. What are the chances?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, something. 50-50, really.
Yeah,
50-50.
If you think about it.
Either it happens or it doesn't.
That's right. It happened twice, so it's like,
it's like 150. I don't know.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's the show, folks. And be sure to check one or both of our National Firearms Associations, CSSA and the NFA, and slide on over to GOC and check us out. Also, like us on Facebook. We are slowly but surely catching up.
Actually, we're not this week. There was no change. No
really?
Change at all this week. None. Not a single one.
I changed it early in the week to 1 to 237, so maybe.
Oh, so you didn't check recently tonight then?
I did check tonight, but I think I changed it on Monday, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, as of this week, 237.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we still, over the last couple of weeks, we've been slowly, you know.
We have been, yeah.
Yeah.
And our listeners are to thank for that. However, right. They still need to be chastised a little bit.
No, they don't.
No, they don't.
I mean, there's at least, I'm going to say, at least 200 or 300 people out there that are on Facebook that listen to the show, I'm guessing.
Well, there's at least 237, because that's how many likes.
That's right.
No, there's pity likes in there from members of my family who I invited to like the page.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. So, also be sure to check out all the other great shows on the Canadian Reload Radio Network and the Crusader Podcast Network. Ton of great materials and lots of good shows. Check them all out. And, that's it.
Very I have good. A shout-out.
Oh, so now you come
sorry, up. Sorry, Trevor. The shout-outs are passed.
All right, fine.
Sorry.
No, go ahead. No, to our favorite Ewok. Toby, you're the man. Thank you very much. I appreciate your help. I can't tell you guys what he did. I can't know because the SSA or the CIA, who spies on them all the time down there?
NASA. NASA. I don't know why they don't just go back to space.
Yeah, I don't know. So, yeah. No, Toby did me a huge solid. Thanks, buddy.
Cool. Oh, beauty. That's cool.
Toby's a good guy.
Yep.
He is a good guy. Filthy, you should really like him. The things you say about him, really, they aren't true.
It's not appropriate, really.
No.
They got this long-standing feud, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Whatever. Anyway, let's wrap this up.
Yep.
Hey, a little word here of caution. Trevor's editing the show this week, so if it sucks, you can send him the hate mail now. It's trevorforalot@gmail.com.
And if it's better than Matthew's,
just ignore it. Don't
you
just
can
assume
send
I did.
That too. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks everybody for listening, and get out there shooting and take somebody shooting. I'm Ron Burgundy.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.